Please turn to Mark chapter 4, Knowing the Doctrine, part 4. Now we're going to read about Jesus Christ teaching. And Jesus used a parable in this record about a sower sowing seed as part of his doctrine, his teaching. The idea of sowing or spreading seed was very familiar to his audience. Yet, what's interesting is most did not understand the meaning of how it applied to them. This teaching method of using parables would cause people with a humble heart to reach beyond the story to its meaning so they could understand and apply its lesson. During the time of Jesus, Israel as a nation had become very calloused and dull in their heart, and they would not listen with their heart. Israel was listening to the wrong people, and that affected them negatively. So when the truth that Christ taught was presented, they could not hear it in their heart. Who people listen to, especially when it comes to doctrine or teaching, makes a difference in the quality of life we live. Let's look at this record, Mark 4, verse 1. And he, Jesus, began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. His teaching was repetitive. The word taught indicates it was repetitive over and over. Even the word said, where it says, and said unto them in his doctrine, it's again repetition in the present. He was going over this again and again. And his first exhortation is to listen. Hearken, listen. This record here in Mark uses the hear or hearing or heard 14 times. It's really central to what Jesus Christ was endeavoring to help people with, to really listen. Verse 4, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Then he says it again. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You think he's after something with this group? Do you think he understood that Israel had gotten dull and calloused in their heart? Absolutely. He was getting them to go deeper, to really listen to what he was saying, to reach for the understanding. Watch this. And when he was alone, they that were about him, that means that were surrounding him, with the 12, asked of him the parable. That's fantastic. When Christ was on earth, he could be asked questions directly, like the meaning of what he was teaching. And those that asked received more understanding, like it's going to happen here. See, that was for a period of time. Christ has now ascended into heaven. John 16, 23 says, and in that day, referring to the day of Pentecost, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. But while he was on earth, in his earthly ministry, sure, you could ask him. And Jesus Christ is going to follow through with this request. Verse 11, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, I mean outside of that sphere of disciples and followers, close followers, all these things are done in parables. See, the mystery of the kingdom of God is what's hidden to the people that were calloused and dull. And really what it's talking about in this context is the understanding of the healing power of God's forgiveness. That's right. The healing power of God's forgiveness. Verse 12, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. That was the whole point. That's the central key that unlocks this understanding of this parable. The word should be converted is the word to make an 180 degree turn. Not to make a right turn or a left turn, or even just adjust your trajectory. It's a complete 180, complete turnaround. You see what he's after. He's after for people to receive God's forgiveness. And what's beautiful, there's a parallel record here in Matthew 13. And in Matthew 13, Jesus adds healing to the forgiveness. He adds healing to the forgiveness. Healing and forgiveness are so inextricably tied together. That's right. See, the mystery of the kingdom of God, it was hidden to them because of the dullness, of the callousness of their heart. God's rule, which is his kingdom, and care over all things, is demonstrated here in this record in the healing power of forgiveness, which is man's really great need. And God wants to fulfill that need and handle it. And he said unto them, verse 13, know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? This parable is very significant. It's like a cornerstone in the building of understanding. Now he's going to explain it. The sower soweth the word, and it's the word of reconciliation. It's the word that brings us back to God. We make a 180 degree turn. That's what Israel was should have done, is stop listening to the wrong people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, or whoever, the world. That's the word that's being sown to bring God's people back to God. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. All four categories, I want you to note, hear the word. They all hear it, but different responses are identified in all four. Here, they hear it, but Satan, which represents the systems of the world, takes it away immediately. Oh, I can't be forgiven. I don't need forgiveness. I don't need to forgive anybody. It's robbing those people of healing. The next one, verse 16. And these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness or joy, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction, that's pressure, or persecution, you know, that's when people go after you, arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So they receive it with joy immediately, forgiveness. Then the pressure comes, or someone challenges them, if you will, and they give it up. Verse 18, And these are they which are sown among thorns, and such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. This one takes a little bit of time. They hear the word, and they're moving with it, but there's other things in their life that are going to choke it out. And that takes a little bit of time for that to happen. Verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. See, these people are not listening to the world. These people have tender hearts, not dull and callous. They're listening to the end of acting. And the varying amounts of 30, 60, 100, it's not for any sense of comparison. It's just the reality that people produce different amounts of fruit. That's it. So in verse 15, Satan immediately takes it away. The world has got too many hooks in that heart. And forgiveness and healing, that's just not possible. Then the next group is they immediately receive it with joy, but they get offended. People are so easily offended about everything. They have no root in themselves. That's why it requires us to reach deeper into the truth of God's word and get it deep within our heart. This final category, over time, through distractions and deceptions and worldly desires, it chokes the word out. They don't produce any spiritual fruit. They may know the word. They can quote the word. They read the word. But the other things choke it out, and it doesn't produce spiritual fruit. The love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the gentleness, the meekness, all that good stuff. Doesn't produce it. The final category does, because they put it in their heart. Then he says in verse 21, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? In other words, when you light a candle, you want it to be in a prominent position. He's making the point that he is not hiding this from anybody. It's on them. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad or brought to light. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Again, his exhortation to truly listen. Truly listen with your heart. And to do that, there has got to be forgiveness. And the forgiveness brings physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, and in every sort of way. Nothing that is done on this earth is more powerful than the crucifixion of Christ. It removes all sin. Do we realize this? That all sin has been forgiven? And then it's up to the people to receive it. Receive that forgiveness and enjoy it and share it. All sin has been forgiven in Christ Jesus. He took the sins of the whole world. Amazing. And he said unto them, verse 24, take heed what you hear, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall be more given. What's he saying here? He's saying that what's the value to his audience of this word of reconciliation? How are you really listening to this? What kind of value are you putting on it? Is it the word of God? If it is, then it needs the highest value possible. What value do people put on the word of reconciliation that brings us back to God? Should be very high, because we fight for what we value. And remember, Hebrews tells us that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, that pursue him. Now, I know Christ isn't here to ask questions, but you certainly can ask questions to God. Absolutely. Seek his wisdom on a daily basis, all the time. And then when we ask, more is given to us, more understanding, more and deeper application and appreciation. For he that hath, verse 25, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. The context is the world taking it away. Satan, the cares of this world, the pressure, all that stuff. That's right. Verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God. The text is the God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now watch this illustration. He's going to further develop this agricultural metaphor of the word in people's heart. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. That's right. A farmer puts the seed in the ground. He doesn't know exactly what's happening, all its intricate and beautiful details that develop that plant. Verse 28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he, the farmer, putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. The way that the word grows in people, you cannot analyze it. You can't put it in a formula. It grows in that heart that seeks him, God, just like a seed. Verse 30, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? The God is the text. Or with what comparison shall we compare it? Again, he's teaching through comparison. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. What's he teaching them? That this understanding of the healing forgiveness of the power of God that's within the realm of his kingdom can grow in an individual. It can grow within you. It can grow within me. How much do we want it to grow? It's up to you, up to me, how much we want it to grow. And he again uses the illustration of the earth. The earth will produce fruit with the right seed. Same thing with the word of God, he's telling us. And the illustration is all around us. Can't miss it. Been there since we were a baby, and it'll be there if the Lord tarries when we fall asleep. It's all around us. What a tremendous record. Verse 34. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Those are the ones that really wanted to know. What a tremendous truth this record holds regarding the teaching approach that Jesus Christ had. The idea of sowing or spreading seeds, we know, was very familiar to this audience. But for some reason, they could not understand the meaning of how to apply it. The teaching method of parables would cause people with a humble heart to reach beyond the story to its meaning so they could understand and apply its lesson. Really, what we're looking for is God. We're looking for him. That's right. And during the time of Jesus, Israel had definitely grown dull and calloused in the heart. They couldn't hear because they were listening to the wrong people, and that affected them negatively. When the Messiah, the Son of God, the Christ came and presented himself and declared the truth of who he was and what he came to do, they could not hear it in their heart. Well, who people listen to, especially regarding doctrine and teaching, makes a difference in the quality of life.